بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of رياض الصالحين and we have reached hadith 36. We have reached hadith 36. We're still under the chapter of patience. وعن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كأني أنظر إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحكي نبيا من الأنبياء صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم. ضربه قومه فأدموه فجعل يمسح الدم عن وجهه وهو يقول اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. In this hadith, the Prophet Abi Abd al-Rahman Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, as if I am looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was speaking about one of the prophets whose people have beaten and wounded him. And he was wiping the blood of his face and saying, O Lord, forgive my people as they don't know. O Lord, forgive my people as they don't know. This is an agreed upon hadith. This hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about something which took place with the prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and the prophets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted them with the message because they are fit and suitable for it, as Allah the Most High said in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 124, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. And Allah knows best with whom to place his message. And Allah knows best with whom to place his message. So they are suitable and fit in forbearing and in proclaiming the message and inviting people to it and enjoining al-ma'roof, what is right, and forbidding what is evil, and being patient on that. And the Rusul alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the messengers, may Allah salam and salam be upon them, were hurt and were harmed by sayings and by actions. Even it reached the extent of being killed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that clear in his book, حيث قال لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم, where he said to his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, as in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verses 34 and 35, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَأِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وإن كان كبر عليك إعراضهم فإن استطعت أن تبتغي نفقا في الأرض أو سلما في السماء فتأتيهم بآية ولو شاء الله لجمعهم على الهدى فلا تكونن من الجاهلين. Verily many messengers were denied both before you, but with patience they bore the denial and they were hurt till our help reached them. And none can alter the words, the decisions of Allah. Surely there has reached you the information, the news about the messengers before you. If their aversion from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then if you were able to seek a tunnel in the ground or a ladder to the sky, so that you may bring them a sign. And you cannot do that. So be patient and don't be of the ignorant ones. So it was the wisdom of Allah the Most High which entailed that they be belied, so that what? So that the truth becomes distinct from falsehood after confrontation with it. The Prophet in this hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, spoke about one of the prophets who was hurt by his people. They have beaten him and wounded him. They didn't do so, except that because of their denial of him, until they wounded him. And so he used to wipe the blood of his face and saying, Allahumma aghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, forgive my people as they don't know. And this is the utmost of patience. This is the utmost of patience, because if a person is beaten on something which is of worldly nature, he will get extremely angry and will avenge from the one who beats him. And here is a prophet who invites to Allah, and he is not being paid and compensated for that, for any worldly compensation. Yet they beat him until they make his face bleed, and he wipes the blood and says, Allahumma aghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, forgive my people as they don't know. This story told to us by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not told in vain. Rather, it is told as the rest of the stories of the prophets to take heed from it and to benefit and follow. As the Allah the Most High said in Surah Yusuf in 12:111, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories, there is a lesson for men of understanding. Indeed, in their stories, there is a lesson for men of understanding. So therefore, the lesson is that we be patient if we are harmed and hurt, either by a saying or an action. When it is done now, if we are hurt for the sake of da'wah to Allah, then we should be patient. And we should be patient on that which we hear or related to us from what is said, because of the da'wah to Allah. And that we should see this as lifting of our degrees and expiation of our sins, because it may be that in our da'wah there is a default, or there is a fault or a defect in terms of ikhlas, of sincerity, or in the way of giving the da'wah and its methodology. So therefore, this harm or this hurt which we may hear stands as an expiation for what may have occurred by us, because it is known that whatever man does from any action, then the fact is a matter which may not be avoided. And unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends so. So if the person is harmed in the cause of da'wah to Allah the Most High, then this is from the completion of his da'wah and lifting of his honor and degree. So let him be patient and seek the reward and not turn away. He should not say that it's not binding upon me if I am hurt, if I get tired. But the obligation is to persevere and forbear and continue. And this life ليست طويلة, is so short, days, and it will go. So be patient until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his command. And in the saying of Abdullah bin Mas'ud in this hadith, كأني أنظر إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يحكي لنا, it is as if I am looking at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was speaking this story to us. There is evidence that the narrator, or the one who is telling information, may relay the information accompanied with that which strengthens the information and the report. And this is a matter common with people. You find them say, telling you a report or a news or something, and he was like asserting it to you, telling you, كأني أنظر إلى فلان, as if it is I am looking at such and such, while telling us this information, he is relating it to you. It is as if I am looking to him, he said this, that and that. It is as if I am hearing his words right now, he said such and such. So if the person uses this style to affirm what have occurred, then he can do this, because in the way of the Salaf there is an example. Wallahu al-muwaffiq. And all success is from Allah. This is the end of this hadith, and we move to the next two narrations. The hadith number 37, عن أبي سعيد وأبي هريرة رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن ولا أذى ولا غم حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه. And this is متفق عليه. And in the other hadith, وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال دخلت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يوعك فقلت يا رسول الله إنك توعك وعكا شديدا, قال أجل إني أوعك كما يوعك رجلان منكم, قلت ذلك أن لك أجرين, قال أجل ذلك كذلك ما من مسلم يصيبه أذى شوكة فما فوقها إلا كفر الله بها سيئاته وحطت عنه ذنوبه كما تحط الشجرة ورقها. متفق عليه. والوعك مغث الحمى وقيل الحمى. In the hadith, which is hadith number 37, from Abi Mas'ud and Abi Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه, عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no fatigue, nor disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but Allah expiates some of his sins for that. This is the first hadith. The second hadith, it is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who reported that he said, I visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was suffering from a high fever. I said, O Allah's messenger, you have a high fever. He said, yes, I have as much fever as two men of you. I said, is it because you will have a double reward? He said, yes, it is so. No Muslim is afflicted with any harm, even if it were the prick of a thorn, but that Allah expiates his sins because of that, as a tree sheds its leaves. These two narrations, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud and Abi Hurairah, the first one, number 37, and the second one of Ibn Mas'ud, in them there is evidence that matters of calamity, sorrow, distress, disease, sadness, fatigue, grief, and such are expiations. And this is expiations for sins. And this is from the mercy and favor of Allah the Most High upon us. Allah tests His slaves with calamities which will be expiations for His sins and causes His sins to fall away. And man in this life will not and cannot stay all the time happy all the times. It's a day up and a day down, a day where he is pleased and a day where he is saddened. Some days he receives certain things, others he may not. So he is afflicted and tested in himself and in his body and in his society and in his family. And the tests are numerous. However, with the believer, كل المؤمن لكن المؤمن أمره كله خير. However, the believer, as the Prophet ﷺ said, his affair is always good. All of it is good. If he is touched by a calamity, he is patient, and so it is good for him. And if he is touched by a pleasure, then he is thankful, and so it is good for him. So if a calamity befalls upon you, don't think that this sorrow and grief which befalls you, or this pain, even the pain of a thorn, don't think that this will go in vain. Rather, you will be compensated with it with good. Sins will be removed. Will fall, just as the tree sheds its leaves. And this is from the ni'mah of Allah. This is from the favor of Allah. And if then the person adds to it, adds to the patience, adds to it the anticipation of reward, then he will have another reward for that. So therefore, calamities has two aspects to them. First, if the person is touched by one and he remembers the reward and anticipates that this calamity with Allah seeking his reward, therefore there will be two benefits for him. First benefit is the expiation of sins, and the second is the increase in reward. The increase in reward. And secondly, he may forget the link to the reward. He may forget, and therefore when the calamity touches him, his chest becomes restricted and becomes distressful and or the like, and then he becomes negligent concerning making intention for anticipating the reward with Allah, so that he gets the expiation of sins. So in this case, he gets the expiation of the sins, so he is a winner under all the situations which befalls him. But for him to win both the expiations and the reward and the anticipation of the reward, this is certainly much better. But if he neglects, he may receive the expiation without receiving the reward, because he didn't intend anything and he wasn't patient and was not anticipating the reward. Or on the second situation, as I repeat, he may win two things: expiation of sins and attainment of reward from Allah as preceded. And therefore, one should remember that if he is touched by harm or calamity, even with a thorn, let him remember, anticipating the reward from Allah upon this calamity, so that he is rewarded in addition to the expiation of sins. And this is from the ni'mah of Allah the Most High, and from His generosity, that He tests the believers and then rewards him on this test or expiates the sins of him. فَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The next narration. 39. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يصب منه. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he whom Allah intends good, he makes him to suffer from some affliction. Or if Allah intends to do good to someone, he afflicts him with trials. Afflicts him with trials. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may pre-decree calamities upon a person to test him. Is he going to be patient or is he going to be resentful? Is he going to be patient or resentful? This general hadith is restricted by other narrations which tells that he whom Allah intends good and is patient and anticipates the reward, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts him so that he tests him. However, if he is not patient, he may be touched by many calamities and there is no good, and Allah did not intend good for him. So the kafirs are touched by many calamities, yet they stay on their kufr, on their disbelief, until they die on it. And so there is no doubt that Allah did not intend good for them. So what is meant therefore by this hadith is that whomever Allah wants to do good to them, and such that they are patient on these calamities, then this is from the good which Allah had intended. Why? Because as preceded in the previous narrations, 37 and 38, that calamities are expiators of sins, and they remove the sins, cause them to fall, just as leaves fall off the trees. And there is no doubt that this is good for the believer, for man. Why? Because what these calamities are at most worldly, which will be removed with days and become lighter with days. However, the punishment of the hereafter is the thing which stays and remains. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek refuge in Allah from this. So therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates your sins with these calamities, then this becomes good for you. So therefore, we have learned from these narrations that patience and perseverance upon calamities leads to expiation of sins, and leads to, in addition to that, of the reward, of more reward from Allah the Most High. And that thirdly, this is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His favors upon His slaves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are touched by the ni'mah of Allah and who anticipate the reward and who are patient and persevering at times of calamities, and who are not negligent concerning that. And may Allah the Most High give us steadfastness on this deen, and make us from those who look and seek His pleasure and make our intentions sincere for His face and make us from those who will meet Him while He is pleased with us. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الْمُوَفِّقُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.